Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So we have chatted in previous episodes about the sensory world. I mentioned that I have ADHD, and my particular sensory challenge is with hearing, specifically when I'm trying to focus on focus work. That's when, for me, if I hear things in the background, like a conversation or a television, it's very distracting for me. And even if I'm trying to record this prompt, I'm trying to think about what I want to say next, right? I'm focused. And if someone was having a live conversation, my attention would be like kind of zoning into them without me wanting that to happen. We see it in autism, and there's also so many different forms of it, right? Some people have hyperacusis, in which ordinary innocuous sounds are really frustrating and loud to them, which I don't have at all. So even within this world of sensory processing disorder and hearing, different people and with different conditions have very different experiences. One of the greatest things I ever bought, and thinking back, actually got me through kind of a really stressful period, a brief one, but a stressful one, was custom earplugs. So I moved into this current apartment, the one with the roof debacle. So maybe it's a good thing that we're getting out of here. I think it probably is on many fronts. But it was kind of quiet during the day. But when we moved in here, it was super, super noisy. The honking started at nighttime at an intersection. And it's just one of those many things that are so hard to spot when you're viewing a property, especially when people showing you kind of tend to tell you what you want to hear. So I got these custom earplugs made up, and you get them done in an audiology clinic. And basically, they're kind of like the things you get in a pharmacy, except they're a bit more expensive, but like $100 thereabouts, which I just want to say for anyone who's seriously suffering from this, it's a very worthwhile investment, because if you add up the cost of disposable earplugs, you'll get to that number very quickly. So I got they put a thing in your ear. It doesn't hurt, it molds, and then you come back in 2 weeks and you have them made up. And it's not that they necessarily block out more sound, the attenuation. It's that they're very comfortable and they're designed to be reused, so long as you keep them clean, as opposed to the ones from the pharmacy, which are kind of intended for disposal. Another popular product that is a bit less expensive is called Loop Earplugs. And I think this is a company that has done so much to put sensory conditions on the map in a way that other companies, it's kind of very much part of their ethos. They have one that is actually, I haven't really used yet, but I plan to. And it's called, I think, Engage and Experience. They have different types of them. And these are actually deliberately meant to be, they attenuate less sound. And they're, for example, if you're caring for a baby who's screaming all the time, I'm not looking at Ezra, but I'm thinking about Ezra, then these, you can wear them safely. You'll hear them, but it'll be kind of dampened. And it's surprising how things like these can just make a big difference if you're overwhelmed and you have that kind of sensory sensitivity going on, and then you've got a screaming child, and then it all kind of cascades and you get irate, which is never, never where you want to get to. So they're an amazing series of products. And it's an amazing technology. So I'd like to ask about that, Herman and Corin. It may sound like a stupid topic. How much is there to know about earplugs? But these different attenuation levels in decibels are, I guess, kind of the most significant thing people talk about. The other question, of course, that one might have with these, and sorry for the gross topic, but it's regarding buildup of earwax. You know, what's the kind of recommendations there about how long you can use these every day? And those products for people who might have sound sensitivity and they have the delightful experience of bringing children into the world and they want to use them responsibly for this exact need to maybe just kind of tone down that that crying a little bit so that they stay calm and collected and a responsible carer, which is, I think, the goal here. So Herman and Corin, let's talk about hearing protection, especially the type that is actually, I guess, better described as sensory hearing things. And finally, because I've just thought cropped into my head, earmuffs. These are things that some people with, particularly, I feel like autism, it's popular in the autism world, but I'm not sure if there's any real reason why other people with ear sensitivity couldn't derive benefit from it. Sometimes people even use them in combination, and there are specific kinds that cater explicitly to the sensory community, and we should cover that too. Over to you too, Herman and Corn.
You know, Herman, I was sitting in that cafe on Jaffa Street yesterday, trying to read that new paper on neural architecture, and I realized just how much of a sensory minefield our world has become. There was a coffee grinder on my left, a bus braking on my right, and a very intense political debate happening three tables over. It felt like my brain was trying to process 10 different streams of data at once, and failing at all of them.
Herman Poppleberry here, and I know exactly what you mean. It is that classic signal-to-noise ratio problem. For most people, the brain has this incredible filtering mechanism that pushes the background hum into the periphery. But for many of us, especially those with ADHD or sensory processing sensitivities, that filter is either porous or non-existent. In fact, recent research has confirmed that these sensory differences are a core part of the ADHD profile, not just a side effect of inattention. Our housemate Daniel actually sent us a fascinating audio prompt about this very thing earlier today. He was talking about his own challenges with focus and how he uses different tools to manage the auditory environment.
Yeah, Daniel really hit on something important. He mentioned that background noise isn't just a minor annoyance for him, it is a total focus killer. And he is not alone. Whether it is ADHD, autism, or hyperacusis, which is that extreme sensitivity to everyday sounds, the world is just too loud for a lot of people. We actually touched on the broader sensory processing side of this back in episode 377, but today I want to really dig into the hardware. Daniel mentioned everything from custom molded earplugs to these newer consumer brands like Loop, and even the role of earmuffs.
It is a great topic because the technology has changed so much. We used to just have those yellow foam squishies that you find at a construction site, which basically turn the world into a muffled underwater mess. But now, we are seeing a move toward acoustic engineering that treats sound like something to be sculpted rather than just blocked.
Exactly. It is about attenuation, not just isolation. But before we get into the fancy gear, I want to address that feeling Daniel described. That sense of being overwhelmed by a screaming baby or a loud television. Why does that happen? Why does sound become a physical stressor for some people?
Well, in the context of ADHD, it is often related to the dopamine system and the way the prefrontal cortex regulates attention. If your brain is constantly scanning for new stimuli, it cannot easily ignore the rhythmic thumping of a neighbor's music or the high-frequency whine of a refrigerator. With hyperacusis, it is even more intense. Research suggests that central auditory processing and limbic system interactions drive discomfort and negative emotional responses towards sound. The auditory pathways in the brain amplify certain frequencies, so a sound that is 40 decibels to me might feel like 80 decibels to someone else. It is literally painful.
And that is where these tools come in. Daniel mentioned he invested in custom earplugs from an audiologist. I am curious about the technical difference there. If I go to a professional and get my ear canal mapped, what am I actually getting that I cannot get from a $10 pair of silicone plugs from the pharmacy?
Oh, it is a night and day difference, Corn. When you go to an audiologist, they take a physical impression of your ear canal using a fast-setting silicone material. This ensures a perfect seal. In the world of acoustics, the seal is everything. Even a tiny gap can let in high-frequency sound waves that bypass the plug entirely. But the real magic isn't just the fit, it is the filters. Custom plugs often have interchangeable acoustic filters. You can choose a filter that drops everything by 9 decibels, 15 decibels, or 25 decibels. And because they are designed to be linear, they reduce the volume across all frequencies equally.
That is the key, right? The linearity. Because when I wear those foam plugs, the music sounds terrible. All the high-end detail is gone, and it just sounds like mud.
Precisely. Foam is great at stopping high frequencies because those waves are short and easily absorbed, but low frequencies, like the rumble of a bus, have long wavelengths that pass right through foam. That is why foam plugs make everything sound muffled. A high-quality custom plug with a flat response filter keeps the music sounding like music, just at a lower volume. It is like turning down the master volume knob on the world instead of just putting a pillow over your head.
Daniel also brought up loop earplugs, specifically their Engage, Experience, and Switch models. I have seen these everywhere lately. They have that distinct circular design. What is actually going on inside that little loop? Is it just a fashion statement, or is there some actual physics at play?
There is actually some clever engineering there. The loop part acts as an acoustic channel. Inside that channel, there is a mesh filter and, in the Experience model, an internal resonator. The Engage is specifically designed for conversation. It has around a 16 to 20 decibel attenuation rating and uses a wider aperture to minimize the occlusion effect. That is, that annoying sound of your own voice booming in your head because your ears are blocked. The Experience hits around 17 decibels and is tuned for music fidelity. They even have the Switch, which lets you mechanically toggle between Engage, Experience, and a quiet mode that hits around 27 decibels.
Let's talk about those decibel levels for a second. Daniel mentioned exploring the technical side of attenuation. When we see a rating like 15 decibels or 25 decibels, what does that actually mean in real-world terms? I think most people assume a 20 decibel reduction means it is 20% quieter, but it is a logarithmic scale, right?
You are spot on. This is where it gets really interesting and a bit counterintuitive. The decibel scale is logarithmic because our ears perceive sound in a logarithmic way. A 10 decibel increase represents a 10-fold increase in actual sound energy, but the human ear perceives that as only being twice as loud.
So, if I have earplugs that provide a 20 decibel reduction, the world doesn't just sound 20% quieter.
Not at all. A 20 decibel reduction means the sound pressure level has been reduced by a factor of 100. In terms of perceived loudness, it feels about 4 times quieter. If you go up to a 30 decibel reduction, you are looking at a 1,000-fold reduction in sound energy. It feels roughly 8 times quieter.
That is a massive difference. It explains why Daniel mentioned using these tools for things like caring for a screaming baby. A baby's cry can easily hit 100 or even 110 decibels. If you can knock that down by 20 decibels, you are bringing it into a range that is still audible, so you can respond to the child, but it is no longer triggering that fight or flight response in your nervous system. It keeps you in the window of tolerance.
Exactly. It is a tool for emotional regulation. But Daniel also asked about something a bit more practical and, as he put it, a bit gross. Earwax. If you are wearing these things every day, what does that do to your ears?
Yeah, I've heard people worry about earwax buildup or even infections. Is that a real risk?
It is. Our ears are self-cleaning machines thanks to a process called epithelial migration. There was a famous study where researchers put a dot of ink on a person's eardrum and watched it move. Over a few weeks, that ink dot literally traveled off the eardrum and out the ear canal like a slow-motion conveyor belt. When you wear earplugs for 8 hours a day, you are essentially creating a dam. You are blocking that natural outward flow and potentially pushing wax deeper into the bony part of the canal where it shouldn't be.
So the wax just gets packed back in? That sounds like a recipe for a trip to the doctor.
It can be. Plus, you are creating a warm, dark, moist environment, which is the perfect breeding ground for bacteria. This can lead to otitis externa or swimmer's ear. The solution is hygiene and moderation. You have to clean your earplugs every single time you use them. For silicone tips, warm soapy water is fine. But for filtered plugs like the loops, you should never submerge the main body because water can ruin the internal mesh. Just wipe the loop with a damp cloth and wash the removable silicone tips separately. And never, ever put earplugs into a wet ear canal after a shower.
That is good advice. Now, Daniel also mentioned earmuffs. He noted that some people in the sensory community even use earmuffs in combination with earplugs. That seems like a lot of gear. What is the benefit of doubling up like that?
It is called dual protection. The physics here is that even the best earplugs have a limit because sound doesn't just enter through your ear canal. It also enters through bone conduction. High-intensity sound can vibrate the bones of your skull and bypass the ear canal entirely. Earmuffs cover the temporal bone and help attenuate that bone-conducted sound.
does wearing both just double the protection? Like, if I have 20 decibel plugs and 20 decibel muffs, do I get 40 decibels of reduction?
I wish, but physics doesn't work that way. The standard industry formula is to take the higher rating of the two devices, subtract 7, and then add 5. So if you have a 30 decibel earmuff and a 25 decibel plug, your total protection is only about 28 decibels. It is a diminishing return, but for someone with extreme hyperacusis, that extra 5 decibels can be the difference between a functional day and a total shutdown.
I can see how that would be helpful in a place like Jerusalem during the summer, where the noise of the city just seems to bounce off the stone walls. But for most people, earmuffs are more about the passive versus active noise cancellation debate, right?
Right. Passive earmuffs are just big, foam-filled cups. They are great because they don't require batteries and they don't produce that anti-noise hiss that some people find irritating in active noise, canceling headphones. Some people with autism, for instance, are very sensitive to the electronic hum of active noise cancellation. For them, a high-quality pair of passive earmuffs is much more comfortable.
It is interesting how much of this comes down to personal preference. For Daniel, it sounds like he needs to hear some things, like a conversation or a baby, but he needs the sharp edges of the world rounded off. For someone else, they might need total silence.
And that is why the variety of tools is so important. You have the discrete, low-profile plugs like the Loops for social situations. You have the high-fidelity custom plugs for focus work. And you have the earmuffs for high-intensity situations. There is even a trend now of people using electronic earmuffs that amplify quiet speech but instantly clip and block loud sounds like a siren.
That is fascinating. It is almost like having a bionic ear that you can program to protect you. I wonder if we will eventually see that technology integrated into everyday earbuds. I mean, we are already seeing transparency modes in things like AirPods, but they aren't really designed for sensory protection in the same way.
We are definitely heading that way. The line between hearing aids, hearing protection, and consumer audio is blurring. We discussed the underlying tech for some of this back in episode 233 when we talked about beamforming. Imagine an earbud that uses beamforming to only let in the voice of the person standing directly in front of you, while active noise cancellation handles everything else. That would be a game changer for someone with ADHD who struggles with the cocktail party effect.
For sure. The ability to selectively tune the environment would be incredible, but even with the tech we have now, it is pretty amazing how much a simple piece of silicone or foam can change someone's quality of life. Daniel mentioned that his custom plugs were a great investment, and looking at the numbers, it makes sense. If you are buying a pack of disposable foam plugs every week, you are going to spend more than $100 pretty quickly. Plus, a good pair of custom plugs can last 5 years or more.
Absolutely. It is a classic example of how understanding the science of your own needs can lead to better long-term decisions.
So, if we were to wrap this up into some practical takeaways, where do we start? If someone is feeling overwhelmed by noise, what is the roadmap?
Start with the low-hanging fruit. Try a pair of high-fidelity non-custom plugs first, something like the Loop Engage or Experience. They are relatively inexpensive, usually between $30 and $40, and they will give you a taste of what linear attenuation feels like. If you find yourself wearing them every day, then it is time to see an audiologist for custom molds.
And what about the earmuffs?
Earmuffs are great for the home or office when you don't want to keep putting things in and out of your ear canal. If you are in a deep focus session and you just need to disappear for an hour, pull on the muffs. If you are going out into a loud, unpredictable environment, bring the plugs.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that it is okay to need these things. There is sometimes a bit of a stigma, like you are being difficult if you want to wear earplugs at a dinner party. But if it is the difference between being present and being overwhelmed, it is a no-brainer.
Exactly. It is about accessibility. We don't judge people for wearing glasses because they can't see clearly, and we shouldn't judge people for wearing earplugs because they hear too much. It is just a tool to level the playing field.
Well said. I think we have covered a lot of ground here, from the logarithmic nature of decibels to the proper way to clean your ears. It is a lot more complex than just sticking some foam in your head.
It really is. And I think as we understand more about neurodiversity, we are going to see even more innovation. I am looking forward to the day when my earbuds can automatically detect when I am getting stressed by ambient noise and adjust the attenuation levels in real time.
That would be the dream. Until then, I think I might look into some of those custom plugs myself. Jaffa Street isn't getting any quieter.
Definitely not. All right, I think that just about covers it for today. This has been a really deep dive into something that affects so many people's daily lives.
It really has. And hey, if you've been listening for a while and you find these deep dives helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or over on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find the show.
Yeah, it makes a big difference for us. And thanks again to Daniel for sending in such a thoughtful prompt.
Absolutely. You can find all our past episodes, including those ones we mentioned on sensory processing and beamforming, at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We have got a full archive there and a way for you to get in touch if you have a topic you want us to explore.
Until next time, I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. Thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. We will see you in the next one.
Take care, everyone. Stay curious and maybe buy some earplugs.
Bye for now.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.